Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, Last Ritz, Cata B, Miss Smith and Envy, for the little 9 y'all, yeah, check this out, yeah, Triceptus Studio, check it, yeah, yeah. Yo, chillin' in the club, toastin' it up, having some fun, just enjoying the love. I saw you walking by, looking all upset. That was a cue for me, just the end of the set. To take you from your low, bring you to your high. Tell you positive things like how you so fly. After the club, meet me at the ride. We'll go to the beach, count the stars in the sky. In the meantime, tell me about your nine. You're the finest thing that's dressing all wide. Clothes you got on is a major turn on. Me looking at your mind is an instant dog on. Yeah, God, it's the way how you touching me. Sending me a vibe right through my body. You're so attractive and I'm so addictive. Yeah, that's something different, I'm dying to get with it.
Ooh, I like the way you always pushing on me. Ooh, I like the way you put chills on my body. Ooh, I like the way you always on my mind. Ooh, I like the way how you do it every time.
Prime time player, used to chew girls up like now and later. Used to have 10 shorties all up in the jag. Used to bang them all out like they never really had. I was going buck wild, I really didn't care. Had the blinged up loops plus the line up here. So fresh, so clean, y'all can help to stare. Living like Liberace with rockets to spare. Till I saw you, you opened up my eyes. The way you showed me love, it was definitely a surprise. Never ever met a girl who kept it so right. Never ever met a girl who matched my left or right. Now it's just me and you, let's play one on one. What we playing for, she said, I said for your heart. Accept the invitation, let's have some fun. From the nighttime sky to the early morning sunlight.
How can I approach you on this? You make my whole heart to flip. When you're near me, I get chills. Without you around, I'm going ill. I'd probably die if you were mine. Fuck you for murder, you're a crime. Looking in your eyes, I feel I'm fine. But still, that's hell, don't waste no time.
Shelly Nunchucks on the Shelly Nunchuck Show with my little furball co-host, Jackie Chan Kitty, and the new addition, Rocky Balboa, who's running around acting like a ninja cat, and you people don't see it. Thank goodness this is radio. I am this tall scratching post for these cats. It's all I got to say, and you don't see it, but Rocky just woke up, and this sucker is so fast, and it's so small. I can't even tell you. I can't even touch this little sucker. He's running around crazy, and I'm like, oh, good, I'm getting ready to go live on the air, and this thing's running up and down my leg. So if you hear me squawking, or you hear cats fighting in the background, it's the two cats. So just to give you a fair warning. But anyway, welcome to the show, and I am so thrilled to have this person that's going to be on my show once again. Just to make an announcement, once again, I've been trying to raise money for the Hollywood Stuntmen's Hall of Fame because I do believe in preserving the history of the Stuntman Hall of Fame. And what it's for, it's about the museum and hundreds of exhibits of rare artifacts and memorabilia of stars and stunt performers of motion pictures and television featuring personal items of John Wayne, Jimmy Stewart, Steve McQueen, and stunt legends of the movies, including Yakima Canutt, Cliff Lyons, Dave Shop, Ronnie Rundell, and hundreds of others. There are over 350 concrete blocks that contain the footprints and handprints as well as signatures of many of the greats of the cinema, a collection that outranks those that are located at the Mann's Chinese Theater on Hollywood Boulevard. This rare collection has taken its founder, John G. Hagner, more than 65 years to gather and preserve for posterity, featuring parts of costumes, weapons, stunt equipment, photos and paintings and drawings, hats and caps, boots and shoes, and hundreds of items from the movies and television, plus videos, films, and film clips. The Hall of Fame has been in existence since 1973 and became a nonprofit organization in 1984, dedicated to preserving the history of the stunt profession and honoring stunt people the world over. Currently, the Hall of Fame is without a home and needs financial support to enable them to afford a building in which to welcome visitors. Anyone interested in participating in this effort may make a tax-deductible donation to the Hollywood Stuntman's Hall of Fame and mail it to 81 West Kane, K-A-N-E, Creek, C-R-E-E-K, Boulevard, number 12, Moab, M-O-A-B, Utah, 84532. For more information, contact John Hagner at 435-260-2160. Email address is johnhagner@gmail.com, and it's J-O-H-N-H-A-G-N-E-R @gmail.com. For additional information, go to Facebook and click in Falling for Stars, and then Artists of the Stars, and then Stunt Stars and Legends. And for me personally, I've been trying to raise money for this because it's not just for the past 65 years, and the CEO, John Hagner, he's actually is 85 years old. It's just not for the past, it's for the present and for the future. And I was welcomed on board as a Hollywood Board of Advisor by the CEO himself. So I've been trying to raise money for this. You know, I think it's a really worthy cause for the stunt community because, as I've always mentioned, you know, these stuntmen and women that are in the business, it just seems that if you have a look on there on films and also on IMDb page, what is very last on the list in the credits and in movies? The stunt people always listed last. Also, if you look up IMDb page to imdb.com, if you don't know what it is, it's anybody that's in to do with the entertainment business, look up a movie and such, especially an action film, more than likely, you're going to see the stunt community, the stuntmen and women are basically on the bottom of the list. And, you know, wardrobe's important, hair and makeup's important, but for people that actually do put their lives on their line for a film, I mean, unless you want to say you consider to save the best for last, but it just seems like many, many years ago, they're getting more and more accredited in the community and such, but can you picture many years ago being a stunt person in a film and you had to swear to secrecy and not talk about your work? And this is what on one of my shows where I had the CEO, the founder of the Hollywood Stuntman's Hall of Fame, when he told me himself he could not speak about, you know, his work. So imagine, though, you're with your friends or your family and such, and you can't talk about your work and what you do on a daily basis. Wouldn't that be kind of a bummer? I mean, seriously, you know, when you couldn't say anything. Plus, you're putting life on the line. And people come back and tell me, you know, some people are a dime a dozen. And I'm sitting there, and I just want to shake my head. Now, I might be alone in the way I'm thinking about the stunt world because it's just, I mean, it's just how I am. I grew up, never really wanted to be Barbie. I've always wanted to be a ninja. And just loving what these people do. I mean, I truly, truly love the stunt community. And I'm really going to try, even if it takes me the rest of my life, to raise money for that museum. And the reason why I would love to see it in Utah, because the founding father, John Hagner, he actually lives in Utah. So I'd like to see it, you know, actually either built there or get a museum or something there. So that's something if anybody wants to look into, any donation would be gladly, like, appreciated, definitely, definitely appreciated. So without further ado, let me see if I have my caller in queue. Give me one moment, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Joey Nunchucks, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, and you?
Doing good. Crosby T, 123. Crosby Tatum is here for your entertaining pleasure.
This is so awesome. honored to have you on my show. I love it.
Definitely. Every time I come onto your show, it's just, it's the greatest entertainment spectacle that anyone can ever think of. And honestly, it's just an honor. It's a privilege. It's a pleasure to be able to talk with you. As much as, you know, we miss hanging out in our times that we have hung out together, you know what I'm saying? This is the next best thing.
Yeah. So you're going to make me cry, Crosby. I'm going to get a tissue right now. You're so sweet. And I just, I hopefully soon maybe I'll be able to get a car soon and stuff and work my way back and come back and visit Boston. I would love to hang out with you sometime.
Oh, no, definitely. You know, it's always an honor and privilege when we all hang out, when we go out together. You know, especially when you do make that trip back to Boston, you just got to let me know. I will drop everything just to chance.
Awesome.
Even if I have to carry my girlfriend and anyone else with me, I'm going to make sure that we have the opportunity to make sure that your stay in Boston is, without a doubt, the greatest experience you will ever have.
You are so cool, Crosby. And I just thought, you know, see, that's why I like the times that we got to, like, hang out. And I don't know if you can say we didn't really get in too much trouble. I think we had a time when we were like, how do I say, we might have snuck into a movie theater.
Oh, that,
I'm never gonna let you forget that. And it was,
oh, yeah.
Do you remember
the movie that it was?
It was Hangover.
Yes, it was the very first one.
Yeah. And I was like, I haven't seen the other ones, but I was like, they're going to have their penises flinging left and right. Why do I want to see this? It's all about, like, what the heck? But it was funny. I've got to admit that The Hangover was funny, and I was just, like, dying laughing. So I'll have to wait and see. I'll have to rent part two, and I think there's part three. So I'll be thinking about you if I go to see part two, but I mean in a good way.
Of course, of course.
You know, and since those days of hanging out at, like, the hen house and everything, what's the correct term? They say perv your profile or something. What's the word? Peek your profile, perv your profile on Facebook. I've been trying to, like, keep up with everybody and seeing, you know, since we last talked about Surprise, Surprise, and you had a film premiere, what is it that you can tell me now and the guests tonight on the show get caught up? What has happened since last time I talked with you on the show?
Well, Shelley, a lot has happened with Surprise, Surprise. It's this is what in the film industry we call the home stretch. This is pretty much, in business terms, this is pretty much the exit strategy happening. As you know, and as you heard, Surprise, Surprise signed a distribution agreement with Maverick Entertainment back in August 2013. And now, a couple months later, we are now positioned, we are now ready to have Surprise, Surprise released onto DVD, and it is going to be in stores nationwide.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. You have come such a long way from when I was auditioned for you, and I just never thought I'd keep a connection with you and seeing how much you've grown, not just as, like, a filmmaker, but as a man. And I'm like, you're just amazing. Everything that you've gone through, your struggles and everything, you're just an amazing man, Crosby. And I'm not saying this because I'm on the phone with you live on the show, but I really mean that because I've been seeing you grow and putting things together, and I think you're doing an awesome job.
Thank you. But it's not myself. It's a great team of people and individuals who have come together, you know, with everything that I've done, and they all, you know, pitched in with their expertise, and they basically made the project better. I mean, you could think back to a JoJo, a Jay Holland. You could think back to Laz. You could think back to Opal. You could think back to a Shireen Brown. You could think back to, you know, all the actors and actresses who lended me their hands and their talents and asked them to trust us with their bodies so that basically they could tell the story of their characters much more efficiently, better. I mean, I don't take credit for, you know, saying all the success that I'm having. It's only because of the people that we have that we are as successful as we can be.
I agree with you 100%. Yeah. It takes like, it's like a family. I always say I'm a Triceptus Studios family for life, and that's what it is. It is a whole team. And I've seen pitches when you were making the first surprise, surprise, because I, like I said, I try to keep up with everybody's stuff, and it's really hard because I'm doing so many things. But I saw when you were filming it, I think it was a nighttime shoot when you were doing it, that you actually have pitches on your Facebook page. It does look like a night shoot.
Yeah.
So shoot it during the night.
Yeah, honestly, like looking back at it, that it almost seems like yesterday that we shot that movie. You know, I remember that scene vividly. It was September 30th, 2012. It might be 2 years ago, but to me, it was just at least a month ago, because that's how much I really loved that scene. Just us shooting that scene that night and just going about it. Personally speaking, it was one of the most exciting situations we all been around. And honestly, I was very happy with how that night came out. I do think that, like, you know, when, you know, this is just my critique, but I do think I extended the night a little too long. But, you know, when you're doing your first movie, you're learning, you're growing, you're understanding what it is when you are putting a project together. And in our case, you know, with the situation that we were having with the project, with, like, not a lot of money, you have to basically do what you can.
That's true, because you're an independent filmmaker. And I always try – see, this is why I like having filmmakers that are independent also, not just people from Hollywood, but to have people explain, you know, words of themselves about their films, that people have limited budgets, and they do the best they can with what they have. So it's just with what you're saying, and, you know, what was some of the, you know, I don't know if you can talk about it. If you don't, it's okay. What were some of the struggles that you were going through, and if there was obstacles, how did you overcome it while you were making Surprise, Surprise?
I think that, like, you know, one, financial was always that's always an obstacle where it comes to itself. Another one, I believe, it actually kind of hits home, a little home to me. I like to think that, you know, saying there were just, like, you know, personal struggles with everyone's schedules. You know, I could look back at Surprise, Surprise and say, okay, there's some great things that I did here, but there were also some things that I didn't do, that I actually did that were wrong, you know. And, you know, one of them was I could look back at that movie and I could say, okay, in some areas you wasn't a great people person. You actually, you know, you really thought, you know, you was, you know, high up the ladder a little bit, you know. And I admit, I did get cocky a little bit during the shooting, because I thought, oh, hey, I was the man, you know. Here's Crosby. Here's this big guy. You know, he's the boss, you know, you know. And deeply after you know, looking back at it and really looking at how everything came together, I feel that basically, one, a leader should never throw his weight around. A leader should always be the encouraging factor and basically enhance and trust people with their jobs, with their tasks that you assign them to do. Basically, you hired them. You let them do the job that basically they can do. And all you do is just steer them in the direction you want them to go. So I think that was, like, one of the best things that I've learned with Surprise, Surprise was when you work with people, steer them in the direction that you set. Because, you know, as a producer and director, you're the captain of this boat. You know, you don't do everything on the boat. You just basically steer the boat. You know, let everyone just, you know, do the things that, you know, you assign them to do. And if you feel that there's a need that they can grow and do something better, then, you know, you elevate them. You basically elevate, you uplift, and basically you make sure that the boat continues to go sailing.
But if you are in charge, you know, with what you're saying, and I think it's, you know, everybody has a different personality, you know, common to said. Everybody's different, have different energies. And I do think an easy way to describe it, I would think that you kind of only have to be like a ninja master, like a sensei on the set, and you have to be in charge. And I know that when you're in charge of a project, people that are directors and people that are in charge on set, they have this, it's kind of almost like a switch that turns a, you know, a persona, like it's a different persona, but not in a, in a bad way. You become a little bit more strict because you have to handle so many people, and especially if it's your film and you're going to make sure everything goes okay. And, you know, sometimes people do have bad days and they're trying to get into character, and you have to go, you know, sometimes you have to talk to people one-on-one. You have to make sure people are getting fed and other things. I mean, those are just tiny things. I mean, there's so much more to it. So it is kind of stressful. And people that aren't in the entertainment business, they don't see this. So how how did you handle the stress? How did you, because I know it is stress, I know it's like you can handle it, but how did you handle it? I mean, how did you, in your own way, because there had to be times, and I know like every single film, you kind of got to be like, mm-hmm. you know, like Yoda. And like, how did you handle mm-hmm. stress for yourself on set?
Well, on set, we're dealing with stress. I think that, you know, I can look back at it and say, look, I really didn't handle myself very well when it came to stress on the set because, believe it or not, I didn't because, like, I felt overwhelmed by everything, and I felt like at times I couldn't trust anybody. So what happened was, you know, I guess I can say this now. What happened is basically Opal and JoJo, Jay Holland, they all stepped up to the plate as producers. We all came together with collectives with weekly meetings, and we said, okay, we need to address these situations. And Opal will have a list and with, you know, things that we need to address. Jay will smooth things out with other people because he's a great people person, you know, and a very good person that, you know, that can relate to this. That, mm-hmm. you know, could get together. And then basically speaking, we all basically came together. I mean, like family, we always have our rifts. There's, you know, there's no shortage of that. You know, we all have our rifts and our challenges. But it's basically, I said to myself, I'm not going to let any issues from myself or anyone else, you know, destroy or basically not get this project done. So basically, it was just, okay, we got to will ourselves to make this movie happen, because what happened when we were shooting, we scheduled the entire month of October to finish the movie. We finished in December because, you know, there was just a lot of personal issues and a lot of professional mm-hmm. issues that happened where mm-hmm. we had to, like, you know, do some pushbacks, which I didn't want to do. But we had to do it, and I had to, you know, this is actually the point of time where basically the budget for our money ran up, and so I had to take out a couple of payday loans to fund the money to fund the project through. So I wow. basically put I basically risked my financial situation that I was in. I actually, you know, risked it so that I could make this movie.
Wow, that's something that I do hear people doing that, even like in Hollywood, like Vin Diesel, I heard he mortgaged his home and stuff. So it does happen with filmmakers, and you must have been like gritting your teeth, and you must have been like, oh, we gotta do this. But I know that, you know, knowing you're like the underdog, like Rocky, and go further where you were down in Philadelphia and you really ran up the Rocky stairs where I saw that mm-hmm. video. I think you're very talented, because going way, way back, and to let the listeners know how I was first introduced with Crosby was an audition. And I was like, you know, when I first started getting into acting, and I was like, I'm trying to see people that I can blend with that are creative. So I went to Crosby's, one of his websites for the company. And I saw a video of him. I don't know if you still have it or not, but you were talking, and I was like, I really liked your energy. It was a little bit more calmer, but you were, like, talking and such. And I was like, there's something about you. I don't know what it is, but when I went to the audition, the thing that went further, I didn't really – the characters for this pilot that he was doing at the time, it was something I didn't really – you know, it wasn't anything for me. I just went to the audition, and I'm glad I did, because I took a chance. And I was like, well, I have nothing to lose. And the other thing is, because I made everyone laugh, Crosby ended up, you know, calling back and says, we want you to be part of this. We want to add you into the pilot. So it's like, it's ever since then. It seems like I've connected with Crosby, and I call him my younger film brothers, because people that I connect with in the industry, I call them my brother, my sister. And so ever since then, ever since that one audition, I just feels like, you know, you're like my little film brother. And I'm so proud of you. I'm so honest to goodness proud of you with what you've accomplished, because I know with everything you've gone through, with, I think, with Surprise, Surprise, if you're able to talk about it, I don't think it's just the script, the story. You actually, didn't you kind of take this from your life? It was kind of a little bit to do with your life, was it not?
Yeah, actually, the story was presented to me. It was presented by Laz to make a story out of my situation as this guy who cannot, he basically cannot talk to girls. And the only way he talks to girls is online, which at the time when we made the story back in 2005, the story, what I was going through was I wasn't talking to girls out in the public. I was trying to holler at them online. I was going on blackplanet.com and hente.com trying to pick up dates, blind dates. And, like, you know, I'll just go on blind dates with these different random type of girls. And, yeah, I was, let's just say I was not the type of guy that I am right now. Let's just say that.
So that's basically, I mean, it's like, isn't it kind of, basically the almost the point of the story, it's like to do with self-esteem practically. I don't know if you can talk about the plot, but did you ever do what was in the film with the plot? Did you ever do that in real life?
I got to be honest. There are some moments in that film where actually they have happened before. There's a particular scene in the movie between me and Jay where Jay is inebriated. And let's just say the results that happen when you look at the movie, when you buy the DVD on June 17th, you will see what happens, because that actually did happen to me in real life. But not to Jay, but it was because of me. So
what is the date again? It says there's a DVD release party back in Boston. So tell me all about that. What's going on with that?
Yes, I mean, we are so excited. Basically, Tricepta Studios is working with Jay Holland and Sharkside Entertainment, Opal Thompson, and OWC Boston. We are putting together our release party for Surprise, Surprise, DVD release party. It's going to be held Monday, June 16th, 2014, at the Boston House of Blues Foundation Room, 15 Lansdowne Street, Boston, Massachusetts, right across from Fenway Park. Right across the park. So if basically you're there for the Red Sox, come on over to the party. You know what I'm saying? If you're a Foundation Room member. If not, the only way you can get into this party is you have to purchase a ticket online at our website, surprisethis.com. Again, that's SURPRISETHIS.com. You can buy your ticket to attend our DVD release party. You'll get a DVD when you pay the minimum ticket, which is $15. You actually, if you want a T-shirt and poster, it's extra. And we got incredible music talent lined up. We have Maverick from Jam 94.5. He will be performing. We also have Ray Royale, Desert Fleet. We have Nate Landers. And also we have music by DJ Daz One. And there's just more talent to come, and we are just so excited. We are so excited. We're so excited to, and the best part, the cast and crew is going to be there, and the actual DVDs of Surprise, Surprise, packaged together nicely by our distributor, they will be there as well. The retail-ready versions, they will be there. All you got to do is just buy a ticket and come on down. It's going to be a grand old time. And even though it's a Monday, we understand people got jobs and we understand people got work. But trust me, you want to come out to this event. It's a once-in-a-lifetime event to be a part of something special. So surprisethis.com, go get your tickets right now.
Yeah, I know it's going to be – you guys always have happening times, like really, really great happening times that I do know that, you know, from personal experiences – I do know that it's always a good time, and I know people that are going to attend it are going to have a really good time there. And so with the music stuff, you'll have to get me some new music you know, if I'm, you know, from Surprise Surprise, if you can send me like an MP3. I
should that's right.
That.
You know,
I should have done that because I still have video. I still have the video, the music from Seal, the video that I worked on with you, and I'm like, he's got to have some new music he can send to me. And I says, well, I'll have you back on the show and I'll get some of your new music so we can play it when you know, next time. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, actually, you know what? We definitely should do that. Probably like a week before the screening. If you would love to have me and the team back on, you know, a week before our DVD release party, which is 2 weeks from now. Hey, if you want us on, we're on.
Yeah, definitely. I was like, speaking of being on, there's another caller in the queue. I don't know who this is, so I'm going to bring them on, okay?
I don't know who he is either, but he or she.
Okay, give me one moment.
Okay.
Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hi. Good evening.
Uh-oh.
Hi, good evening.
I think I know who this is.
I think I know who this is. So this is DJ Evans. I'm very proud of Crosby, and I just wanted to call and to give him my love and my support. Hello?
Yes,
hi,
yes, I am here,
okay.
DJ Evans.
Yes, so I'm very excited for the party, and I can't wait to see everybody together again. And I know...
And she'll be there.
Yes, I will. I know this is the beginning of a many moments like this to come for you, and I'm very proud of you. So I called just to give you my support.
Mm-hmm. And Shelly, what you don't know, this is actually one of our actors who was in Surprise, Surprise. This is DJ Evans. She actually played herself in one of the scenes in the movie in Surprise, Surprise. We have a special scene in our movie. As you check out the story and go along with it, DJ Evans, you know, actually, what you know, if, do you want to tell everyone about what you did?
What I did? So this was my first time on the scene of cinema. I've been modeled when I was young. I did some kind of castings for movie, and I did some commercials. But I came from Portugal, and I was never able to do something like this. So this for me was a great form of art and experiencing. With other actors, you know, what they were doing and everything. And the funny part of it is that I didn't felt like I needed to do too much because I'm a professional DJ, so I just played who I am. I went to the booth and, you know, I just did who I am. I just played music and look at people dancing, and I felt like I was just doing a gig, and it was amazing. You know, I just have cameras taping and like, cut, let's go again, cut, let's go again. So it was very, I loved it. It was a very, very good experience. So that's just what I did. I just went on the movie and I played a role of a DJ.
Oh,
wow. Which is also what I do in life. So I didn't feel like I had to get out of myself to become another person.
So do you have like a website or anything where people can check out you personally?
Yes, I do. So Crosby knows that, you know, like I have my Facebook page I can. It's www.facebook.com/LadyEvansBoston. So that's where people can find me. And that's most of the time where I post all of my stuff. So that's it. I'm a very humble and simple person. Crosby knows me personal. So, you know, so everybody can check me out over there.
Oh, I'm definitely going to.
I
hope everything goes well, and I have to go now. But I just wanted to share my love with Crosby, and to let him know that I'm very proud of him, and I'm very grateful also for the opportunity that he gave me to be on his first movie. So that's why I decided to call.
You're awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much,
Steve.
Have a good night.
You too. Take care.
Bye. Bye.
Oh, Crosby, she was very sweet. Oh, my God, you affect so many people. Oh, my God, I was going to cry there.
It's amazing, you know, what we're able to do. And, you know, God's good. Like, oh, my goodness. It's just when you hear stuff and great things like that, it's just utterly amazing what we can all do together when we have a simple message, when we have a simple when we have a simple purpose, and when we all come together as one to make a vision happen, it's utterly amazing. I cannot describe this feeling.
It's too bad you couldn't, like, put it in a bottle and sell it. So people take, you know, it's like, take a swig of this, and you can feel how it feels. But I know exactly how you feel. And, you know, I think it's knowing that, you know, while you were doing this, you were still working at nighttime, weren't you? Weren't you working a job at nighttime?
Well, actually, I still am. Actually, I never really tell a lot of people this because I always feel like, you know, there's this inference that, hey, you know, I am a producer. That's all I do. Which, honestly, in my mind, I think that, you know, I am a producer full-time, no matter what it is.
The reason why I was bringing it up is because, you know, because I think people tend to think that, you know, money just comes out of nowhere. Like with independent films, people, when I says they have families, boyfriend, girlfriends, marriage, or sometimes they're raising children, and they have to work another job to support their dream job. So it's not something that, you know, so it's like it is an honor to be able to do that. You're doing an honorable way. You're actually working, you know, to support your dream. And that's what a lot of independent, you know, you shouldn't feel bad about that and say, you know, well, that doesn't take away from your dream. It's just that you really are working, you're a working man all the time. So you get
right.
my point.
Right, exactly. You know, back in the day, I would be ashamed to even say this, but now, you know, I've become a little lenient towards it because, you know, it's not what I want to do, but at the same time, it is providing me a lifestyle where I can afford things, and I, if it wasn't for this job, I would have made surprise, because where what else would I have any type of available income? Or to do anything, or even eat, or even, like, drive. So, you know, the job that I have, working at a Massachusetts General Hospital, working, you know, saying 40 hours a week, and including night times, evenings, like 11 to 7, and in the afternoon where pretty much I don't have a life, you know, it's giving me an aura of flexibility that I would not been have able to afford if I had like, you know, a job, and I would be stressed out or worried to figure out, okay, where is this money going to come from? It's not going to come out of apples and oranges or trees or anything like that. It was just, you know. By the way, what's up, Angelita, if you're hearing this, and Mike McGonigal, if you're hearing or listening to this right now, what's up? And James, what's up, too? They're probably listening to us live right now in the office.
So if they want to call in, I mean, the guest call-in number is 347-989-1473. Again, if anybody wants to call in, give a shout-out to Crosby here live on the air. Now's your chance, 347-989-1473. So anybody that wants to call in, you know, it got some good stories about Crosby growing up or something, we'd love to hear it.
No, you don't.
I'd like to listen to you. Seriously, I'd like to hear this stuff because it's like it shows that you're more human. You know, all this crazy stuff. I mean, when you were younger, did you think that you'd be doing this? Did you always want to act? I mean, when you were like a kid?
Honestly, no. That was the funny thing. When I was a kid, I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. I didn't know where I wanted to go. I mean, I wanted to do things just to get out of class, you know. I could the earliest thing I could think of with me and anything relating to the arts is I'm 4 years old and my mom buys me a toy piano and next thing I'm banging on the thing and I'm not really playing with it anymore. And then next thing you know, my mom, like at 6 or 7, I totally forgot, she buys this automatic computer thing, and I start to fall in love with computers, like when I was 7. So it's like little things started hitting in here and there. And then, you know, if I want to, like, go back into, like, the 90s, you know what I'm saying, where we had high top fades and we're out of here, you know, my mom, she bought this video camera. We always, between here, I used to go back to our home country in Honduras in Central America, and we would always videotape, you know, our travels down there. And there are tapes of me in Honduras doing some crazy things when I was 10 or 11 years old.
Like what?
Don't know. I don't know. I'm not
what?
Telling.
No, you brought it up. I want to know now.
Okay. There's situations where it was an era where Beavis and Butthead were really running amok. Yeah.
No. I mean, did you go chase some animals or something? Did you like go climb? I don't know what can you talk about? Is it legal?
Well, I think one of the worst things I ever did was I actually pulled my pants down and mooned the camera.
Is your mom there?
She was videotaping the camera.
Was she gonna smack you around?
Oh, I got smacked around a lot for that. I got smacked.
Oh, my gosh. So, will you have, like, a handful? I wish I could get, like, some of your relatives in. I really want to know. Were you a handful when you were a kid?
They will attest. I pretty much was a handful. I'm not going to lie. I was out of control. I could think back, like, to 4 or 5 years old, I would get beatings every day for stuff. I mean,
no.
I really would. Like, I remember around 5 or 6 years old when I started entering kindergarten, I actually started fights. A lot. I used to fight a lot with kids.
You? Are you serious?
Yeah.
No. No.
I fought kids. Yeah, I was pretty, you know, I was pretty violent. I was pretty, like, you know, I didn't like it when people took my toys and stuff like that, and I fought them because I was like, hey, that's my toy. And, you know, I would get written up for it. And then next thing you know, after I get home, I get a beating. And you know, it was one day it was mom beating me, or one day it's dad beating me. You know, he was laying that leather on me. It was like, oh, can I die, please?
Yeah, back in the day, yeah, daddy that had like you know, people would have like the belt, and they were like ninjas whipping the belt off their pants. Like you just could not see the movement. It's like Bruce, like whoa, the belt, and it's like whoa or whatever. It's like. Or taking part of the panel off the window. Like, people, like, nowadays, if you ever did stuff like that and you hit your kid, you go to jail. It's just all this crazy
stuff. Like,
no?
I honestly, if I had a child, I probably would just beat the crap. I'd probably beat the tar out of that, out of my child. Just because I come from the old school, you know. You know what I'm saying? Like, of course, you know, we have all this new ways of, like, raising children and everything like that, and, like, look where the world's coming to with that. Really? Come on, people. You know what I'm saying? Your kids are going to respect you, basically, if you show a will of opposition, or rather, if you can just mentor and just be there. You'd be like, okay, I'm going to hit you, but I'm going to hit you for a reason, and then we're going to talk about it. And then basically we're going to set the rules straight of what you need to do and what you need not to do. If you want to be, you know, I feel like for me, for parents, you know, and honestly, I could be opposed to this because basically I don't have kids. That I know of.
Oh, well, I don't know if we're going to go into the air.
That's
a whole nother show if that's going to happen. If that happens, oh my gosh. Yeah,
but
can of worms.
No, that can of worms is closed down.
Okay. Getting all trouble.
But,
here. You're gonna get a spanking after you get off the show. You're gonna get in trouble.
I'm probably gonna be in more trouble than what I am right now. So, sue me.
So, did you ever do anything like?
you know, with filming and such, like, did you do it as a kid? I mean, how did you, didn't you go to, like, college or high school? You said you got into it because I think you had mentioned to me about one of your mentors, which I do see. I'm also Facebook friends on there. I believe it was Christopher Nolan, and I think he has number 2 on the page. Isn't he one of your big mentors?
Oh, my goodness. Christopher Nolan is quite possibly one of the biggest influences in this business for me. Nowhere of a lie. We connected together a couple of years ago when I was trying to find money for Surprise Surprise. You know, I basically hit him up, and, you know, we just started our relationship. You know, I would ask, you know, I approached him. I was just congratulating him. He just recently had his movie The Good Life play on BET, and... we just basically connected with the people that we were working with him, and these were people who I'd seen in a number of different films over the years in the 90s. I mean, the people he was working with, one of the girls, they were in Def Jam's How to Be a Player. Another one, he's recently been on a stage play with Tyler Perry, and it's like whoa, this is a whole new world that I'm being opened up to, you know. And these guys are just chilling. They're just like me and you, you know. And it's like, whoa, this is new territory here. Mm. But and at the same time, it's like, whoa, this is actually the industry. This is really it right here. And it also basically exposed me to my other home that actually, you know, I really love, Chicago, Illinois. That's right, Chi-Town. I actually have love for you guys. Y'all get it in. Or as they say in Chicago, y'all get it in, dog. All day. Chicago two-step. With y'all accents. That bad.
Is that where Christopher is from?
Yes. You know, his crew, family, all in Chicago, Illinois. You know what I'm saying? And, basically, you know, me and Chris, we spawned a great relationship, and then it turned into a working relationship when, here's a crazy story. He actually premiered his movie, The Good Life, at the Ice Theaters, and we connected, and basically, next thing you know, I'm working on the movie in post-production. And then fast forward a couple, about a year or two later, and next thing you know, after the premiere in Kendall, I'm on a plane to Chicago, and basically I'm there for a couple of days working with Keith Robinson and Christian Keys and Robin Givens from Boomerang on Chris Nolan's Four Seasons, and I'm the editor for the movie. And I'm like, whoa, I'm in a movie with Robin Givens. Awesome.
I remember, yes. Oh, my gosh, because she was on Head of the Class on that. I think she played in the – I think she wasn't she one
say.
Of the Mike Tyson films, Robin Givens. I think she was – didn't she play? She went out. Did she go out with Mike? I forget.
Yeah, she went out with Mike Tyson. And you know, the story, you know, you can read that on Google and all that stuff. Google Robin Givens. You'll see Alyssa Cavalcade. And honestly, she was also one of my crushes back in the day.
Yeah, she was very well known.
I'll call a spade a spade. She was my crush back in the day, and I was very nervous meeting her when Christine was like, what happened was like, this is a funny story, that, you know, I'm not sure if I should say this or not, but Chris introduced me to Robin, and I was like, oh my gosh, come on, dude, really? It's like, I felt like the Crosby Tyler character in Surprise, Surprise, where I was like, oh my gosh, what do I do? And like, so what happened? I can look back at this and say, "Hi, Robin, I'm Crosby. Pleasure to meet you."
No, that does happen though. It really, that'd be like, I would be the same way too. Like, yeah.
I'm a personal big fan of yours. And he was like, "Okay, great, thanks." Yeah. And I was like, "Whoa." Okay, that's interesting. So it was like, that was my first experience working with named actors and on such an elevated level, and the happy honor to, you know, to edit and cut their works and their talents, you know, and I know pretty much, you know, know so much about them from their works, you're just able to, you know, it was kind of like, wow, I'm putting my little touch of things with these guys, and it's like, wow, it's amazing. The feeling is unexplainable. I cannot describe to you that feeling.
Well, I can understand it. I was in the same shoes with you and those people that I wanted to work with on set. I would feel the same exact way. And I'm so proud of you. And this is going to be, I can see you keep doing greater things. I kept saying it's building up for you more and more. And it's that creativity. It's not fake. How you are is not fake. And it's your energy. And that's why people are going to like you. And I think they want someone that's real. You know, you've got that, how can I say, like you love wrestlers. So that's another thing too, where you were training kind of like MMA, and I was like, yeah, he's crazy. That's my little brother, that's for sure. And how is that thing going? Because this is something that you also been doing too. I mean, this is what people are going to love you. You know, you're like, you were training before. So I think this is, you know, with your energy that you're bringing it, you know, with you did a wrestling thing, like a weird kind of wrestling kind of screaming video thing. I've seen that, and it's like, you've got that energy. So people are going to love that. So what's been going on with the have you been training? I saw you had in one of your pictures, you were standing, I think you had your leg up on a counter, and you were standing in a pose, and I was like, maybe he's getting back into training. So, like, what's been going on with that? Are you training at all?
Well, actually, I have not stepped foot on, you know, into a gym in the past year or two as much as I would like to. For a while, I was training with Team Rockstar. Now, you know, saying the guys over in Rhode Island, Joe Picatore, the fourth, you know, saying he's fighting with, I believe he's fighting on Bellator, you know, and I was training with those guys for a little bit. And then I just said, I just need to focus on this movie, man. I just need to do this. You know, because training mixed martial arts and martial arts is such a time-consuming venture. Mm-hmm. I just told myself when I started over at Best Way in Quincy, now Team Trifecta, run by Kenny Kwan. You know, I learned pretty much, you know, I said I was just going to do a year, just train, see what I want to do, see if I want to compete or not. Basically, you know, saying what happened was, loved it, but I had the bug that I just needed to do surprise to put my focus into it, because when I put myself into that zone of training, that's all I think about is just, okay, I need to train, I got to get better, you know, I want to be like Goku, I want to be stronger, you know, I want to go Super Saiyan, you know, I want to, you know, say, I'm going to be the greatest fighter ever, I'm going to be Anderson Silva, or I'm going to be George St. Pierre, you know, or something like that. But, you know, one of the trainers who trained me, Joe Wu, who actually taught me, you know, a lot of things with grappling and mixed martial arts. You know, he has his gym over at in Chelmsford, Massachusetts, called High Speed Defense, who is one of our core sponsors of Surprise Surprise. And honestly, if you really want to get yourself in great shape, go train with Joe Wu over at High Speed Defense in Chelmsford. Go out there, train, get better, you know, and just, you know, be a better person. And if you want to fight, go join up with the team. He got wonderful fighters, you know, over there in Chelmsford next to Lowell. So, and also, you know, saying also big shout out to Irish Joe McCready. Big
yeah!
Joe.
Yeah. What, did you meet him? You met him, didn't you?
Yeah, we met. We talked. We were supposed to help him out with a documentary, but things didn't materialize. So, but Joe's like, he's an awesome guy. I ain't gonna lie. He's an awesome guy. Great fighter. I think he's already fought on ESPN. Correct? To my understanding.
What was that? What was the last thing you just said?
I'm not sure if he fought on ESPN yet, or has he fought on ESPN?
I think it was HBO. He was fighting in Vegas, I believe, and he was it was his first fight. He didn't win the fight, but I think you know, I'm hoping that, because I think he's training people too back in Lowell. I think he was training and I'm just hoping he gets into doing, you know, more fights. I would love to see that. I had him on the show before and the whole B squad. So they were on my show, and it's a small world, and I just tend to think that it's like, isn't it amazing? You and I connect with people. It's like the same people in the circles. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, Laz knows him as well. And, you know, it's really amazing when you know great people and great talent. And just, you know, like I said, this business is very small, you know. So guys out there who are looking to be producers and directors again in the business, just know this. Just be gracious, be humble with everyone, be professional, because you may never know who you might have to call for something that you may need to get something done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's support, and I'm learning that too myself, and I agree with you 100%, and I figure try to give best support as I can. That's why it's like I love having you on my show, Crosby, because you just, you know, even with the guys, like I forget who called in the last time, I think Jay and a couple of the other guys called in, and it was crazy, and people really, really liked the show, and I was just like, wow. That's the energy that you do bring. This is what I'm talking about. That's why I like having you on my show because, you know, you have that. People love that about you. You know, you're real. You can bring it. And that's why I know you're going to go far. You're still young, like, you know, and I know you're talented in even editing everything. So I'm wishing you much blessings because I know you can do it.
Thank you. It's a tremendous honor. Bafo.
And what else?
Yeah, let's get some calls in. Let's, you know what I'm saying?
Like Jay or someone. The telephone number is 347-989-1473. 347-989-1473. I could try. Let me see if there's a way I can do this to try to call out. If we drop the call, I'm going to press the button, and I'm going to – is there a way you can – I don't know, can you – are you near Facebook? Can you send me a message with a number to call? Because I don't know if you want to see a number on the air. And you can try to call a person. I don't know if we want to, like, be pranking anybody, but are you near Facebook?
I'm not. I'm not near a computer at this particular time. But, if anyone can hear you at the voice, at the lounge of your voice, yeah, let's see what happens. Or rather, let me just get something going here. I'm sure.
Crosby? I know you're still there. Hello? Hello, Crosby. Hello, Crosby, you there? Oh, I don't know what's going on. Let's see. I'm going to try to play a song. I will be right back, and I'm going to pull Crosby back on. I do apologize. It looks like we're having a little bit of technical difficulties. So give me one moment here.
Yeah. Last Ritz. Cata B. Miss Smith and MZ.
Yeah.
For the little 9 yards. Yeah, check this out. Yeah, Triceptors Studios. Check it. Yeah, yeah. Yo, chillin' in the club, toastin' it up, having some fun, just enjoying the love. I saw you walking by, looking all upset. That was a cue for me, just the end of the set. To take you from your low, bring you to your high. Tell you positive things like how you so fly. After the club, meet me at the ride. We'll go to the beach, count the stars in the sky. In the meantime, tell me about your nine. You're the finest thing that's dressing all wide. Clothes you got on is a major turn on. Me looking at your mind is an instant dog on. Yeah, God, it's the way how you touching me. Sending me a vibe right through my body. You're so attractive and I'm so addictive. Yeah, that's something different, I'm dying to get with it.
Ooh, I like the way you always pushing on me. Ooh, I like the way you put chills on my body. Ooh, I like the way you always on my mind. Ooh, I like the way how you do it every time.
Surprise. prime time player. Used to chew girls up like now and later. Used to have 10 shorties all up in the jazz. Used to bang them all out like they never really had. I was going buck wild, I really didn't care. Had the blinged up boots plus the lined up hair. So fresh, so clean, y'all can help to stare. Living like Liberace with rockets to spare. Till I saw you, you opened up my eyes. The way you showed me love, it was definitely a surprise. Never ever met a girl who kept it so right. Never ever met a girl who matched my left or right. Now it's just me and you, let's play one-on-one. What we playing for, she said, I said for your heart. Accept the invitation, let's have some fun. From the nighttime sky to the early morning sunlight.
How can I approach you on this? You make my whole heart to flip. When you're near me, I get chills. Without you around, I'm going ill. I'd probably die if you were mine. Fuck you for murder, you're a crime. Looking in your eyes, I feel I'm fine. But to the tell, don't waste no time.
Ladies and gentlemen, it does seem like we are back here. I'm sorry for the technical difficulties. Let's see if Crosby, are you there? Hello, Crosby, are you there? Let's see. Maybe I can try to, give me one moment. I will have Crosby call back in. I do apologize for the technical difficulties live on the air. All right, figures, the kitty's all snuggling and stuff all here. So let me see if I can do this myself, if this is going to work. So let's see if I can get a hold, if this is going to work. Call out. Okay, Crosby. Listen, if you can call back in, it's 347-989-1473. So I'm trying to bring his number back in the queue here. I know that I'm still connected, but I just tested my phone here. Crosby, yep. Call back in. Type into him right now, call back in. And I'm sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know why. It had dropped. I do apologize for that. Sometimes Blog Talk Radio, it does happen every once in a while. So it gets a little funky. And you never can tell. It's like maybe there's, thank goodness I have a little bit of improv skills. So I don't freak out live on the air here. So Crosby will be calling back in momentarily. But as you can tell, he's got some great energy going. Really, really truthfully, and just seeing him growing and, as a man and as an artist himself, just having that go, that he just keeps going and going and going, and it's just, he's amazing at what he does. And I have to, I'm going to have to bother him and see if he's going to do an action film. When he gets called back in, that's the first thing I'm going to do. When he calls back in, I'm like, hey, bro, you ever going to do an action film? I'm like, yeah, come on, do an action film. I don't know what he's working on next. I'm trying to see if he can actually tell us some things. But to let you know, sometimes when people are working on things, and it's just to protect everything, you can't really talk about too much stuff that happens in the future of what things are doing, because, you don't want to give anybody your ideas, even though things could be copyrighted. But when you're writing things, you don't want to say too much of what the plot is, so no one takes your ideas. So when he calls back in, I'm going to see if there's anything in the future that he can talk about. But the surprise, surprise, it actually, pulling up his page here, Once again, the official DVD release party is Monday, June 16, 2014. It's the House of Blues Boston Foundation Room, 15 Lansdowne Street, Boston, Mass. 02215. The time is 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. The tickets and DVD start at $15. No tickets, it says, is sold at the door. It's online only. And you go to www.surprisethis.com. And you can even go to Crosby's Facebook page, Crosby Tatum, T-A-T-U-M. And also there should be a surprise event going on down back in Boston. So you can, you know, check that out. Let's see. So he should be calling back in momentarily. And, you know, it says working with them, you know, with him myself, I got to work with him a couple of times. It was just, I saw the man working himself. So that's how I definitely know personally that Crosby is really hardworking. So without further ado, let's see. He might be back in the queue. Hello, is this Crosby?
Yes, Roger me. Welcome me. Anything, anything. Hello, hello, Earth.
Yeah, I was like, I'm sitting here going, hello, and you were still, your number was still in the queue, and I'm going, okay, this is strange. So I'm like, okay, this is when my improv skills got to kick in, so I'm not freaking out live on the air. And I'm like, okay, so I went straight to a song, you know, and just wanted to backtrack with everything, and I wanted to hopefully, because I know sometimes we can't really talk about too much stuff, projects going in the future, because it's, you know, it's in the works. I mean, is there anything else that you can tell us about future projects?
Well, right now, I'm actually co-producing and editing Christopher Nolan's next movie, Christopher Nolan's 72 Hours. It's basically if you can change your future to fix your past, can you change your future by fixing your past? You want to just go onto the Facebook page, facebook.com/the72hours movie, facebook.com/the72hours movie, and also on Twitter at 72 Hours Movie. Please like it. Please follow the page, because there's some great talent that is a part of this movie. We have Harry Lennox from The Blacklist in this movie. We have Tim and Kyle Durrett from VH1 Single Ladies, Erica Hubbard from BET's Let's Stay Together. We got Chyna Lane. We got Bree Lee Evans. We got Brian Hooks from Three Strikes. You know what I'm saying? And Laugh It to the Bank. And just, you know what I'm saying, Terry J. Bond from The Steve Harvey Show. And just a lot of great, talented people from Black Hollywood that is going to be a part of this movie. Basically, we're going to be a production soon. And, you know, I'm very fortunate to play, you know, to help put the movie together with Chris. And Chris basically is, you know, I'm just glad to work with Christopher Nolan and the entire team out in Chicago, including Mark Harris with his movie Black Coffee, now playing on BET as well. And, you know, saying also with Keisha Kidan and, you know, Mary Muñoz, you know, saying shout out to you and Natasha Parker. Also got to shout you out as well, Kim Davis. Everyone, the entire production staff, also Vince Shade and Joe Williams, you know what I'm saying, our wonderful, talented cast and crew out there. I just want to say thank you guys and appreciate it and welcoming me into your family. And, you know, there's just a lot of other projects I'm working on personally. Another script, hopefully we'll be able to get that off the ground in December. And it's, like I said, it's amazing. And honestly, right now, also, I'm not sure if you know, Shelley, but I am now an award-winning filmmaker now.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't it something, it had to do with fruit. I remember that, something peach. I remember seeing on your wall. Can you tell the listeners about that? I remember seeing something.
Yes, 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 yes. I am the 2015 Peace Theater Award winner for gifted screenwriting.
Yeah, that's what it was. I'm like, man, see?
And,
well, you weren't even on the air. You're talented. See, right there. That proves it right there.
I guess. You know, it is what it is. And, you know, I'm proud to, you know, represent the Peach Theater Awards. And I very much thank the committee for selecting me and a number of talented people to be a part of the award. To, you know, to have the award and also to be a part of the award ceremony, which is going to be on a cruise going towards the Bahamas next year.
Oh, so, I'm jealous. I'm so jealous right now.
I'm sorry to say this, but yeah, I am going to the Bahamas next year.
And when I come home,
I'll have an award with me.
Man, can you pack me in your suitcase? I'll try to learn, like, some special yoga so you can just stick me in the suitcase. I mean, hey, I'm like, yeah, you know, I won't eat that much. You know, just pack me in a suitcase, you know. I'll pay for the luggage. I want to go with you.
I can do that, but I don't think TSA will like that, and I don't think I would make it to the cruise if that was the case. So if you want to do it, I'm all for it, but I'm just letting you know.
Yeah, I don't want to get you in too much trouble, but that could be right there. That's a plot for a film right there with what we just said. You know,
oh,
you go to get an award and you're like, your friend sneaks in your bag and, you know, seriously, that's how people come up with plots. I mean, look at half the films out there and you just wonder, how did they get made? Maybe people come up with ideas, they just shoot ideas, but we just set a plot line. And don't be surprised if next time we, like, someone, you know, we'd be talking next time and someone actually hears this and they end up making a film out of it. Mark my words, they probably will.
Not on my watch while I'm producing. I better get involved and take a cut. I'm just letting you know right now. If you do try to make what I just said into a movie, you better include me. Because if I don't, I will come after you. I know mixed martial arts. I know Muay Thai. What you gonna say about that? Bong right to your head. Boom. Knock yourself out.
Because you are crazy.
I said that.
I told people you're crazy.
I'll drive to your house without not even thinking about it. That's how crazy I am.
So, do you have a picture, like, I mean, are you just going to, like, do comedy, romance? Do you ever think you're going to do maybe some action films at all?
I mean, the action is always growing, and it's going to get better. I actually have started working on an action film, believe it or not. You know, it's for my love for mixed martial arts. I want to get back to the mixed martial arts community. So I am developing something along those lines. We'll probably see that in about a year or two from now.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on a lot of factors, but I'm definitely developing something that, you know, once we get the right pieces and the right players in mind, then we're off to the races.
Cool. Oh, yeah. Like, is it going to be just, is it just going to be fighting? You can have cars and blowing them up, or, you know, tanks and planes and.
wait till the studios call. Wait till the studios call. Right now, I'll just focus on telling our stories and really just getting ourselves out there so that, you know. When the studios call, the studios will call, and boom, we'll just make it happen. So.
Yeah, if you ever need a crazy chick in a part, let me know. It's like, yeah, I work with you guys. If you never like really, really crazy, I could pull it off for you. Right, man? So I can do it.
Okay, so basically we just need a crazy woman with that likes to lick her hands like a cat.
Try to like bite her face, like try to bite my face or something, or just like, you know, they like, you know, you've seen some films where the crazy ladies, like, you know, there's crazy ladies, and you can fit me somewhere in there. I'm putting you on the spot right now. I don't mean to, but it's like, seriously, you ever need a crazy lady? I mean, you came and saw Inventory. Yeah, you came to actually one of my film premieres. You know how nuts I can get.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Swearing like a truck driver. Yeah. Scaring audience members. Yeah. You want crazy? I'll give you crazy, Crosby.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've been nunchucks at everyone, especially the little kids. Yep. That's pretty crazy. Grade A crazy right there. Yep. Mr. and Bob.
So, who was your, you know, who was, like, your inspirations growing up? I mean, did you have... I know you said Christopher Nolan was your mentor, but before that, growing up, because I know you're talking about your mom, did you have, like, role models in acting or sports? I mean, who were people that, you know, that inspired you?
Oh my gosh, that's such an open-ended question. I got inspiration from a lot of things. I'd like to say Michael Jordan, as a sports figure. Back in those days when I was growing up, everyone in the hood, everyone wanted to be like Michael Jordan, be like Mike. Michael Jackson, because I just loved his music. I also think and believe Vince McMahon, Senior. Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, Triple H. I say Triple H because he has such an attitude about him, and sometimes I like to have that attitude and just, you know, say and do things that I want. Who else? Loved Reggie White, the football player Reggie White.
Mm-hmm.
And also a Jean-Claude Van Damme's character in Bloodsport. Frank Dukes.
Oh,
and Bruce
God.
Lee.
Yeah.
And Bruce Lee, come on. Arnold Schwarzenegger, yeah, of course.
Yeah, there's so many
films. I can even go as far as even the inspiration for me was Lionel from Thundercats and Optimus Prime from Transformers.
Oh, my gosh, here we go. We're getting our geek and nerd on. I mean, seriously, no, like G.I. Joe and, yeah, here we go. Getting the nerd open up. That's it. You open it all up now. I mean, what did you watch growing up cartoons? What were the cartoons growing up? Because I was like, I watched a lot of the boys' cartoons, like G.I. Joe and there's so many different, you know, what?
Oh, come on. Like, you know, who wasn't a fan of G.I. Joe back in the day?
Yeah.
You know, I definitely was one of the bigger fans of G.I. Joe.
I don't know. Because the '80s cartoons. I mean, do you remember that from the '80s, the one in the '80s, because they had a G.I. Joe cartoon movie and they actually had Flint's younger brother, what was it? I forget who it was, but it was Don Johnson's voice.
I remember. I totally forgot his name, but what happened was, Serpenta, they basically got taken over by, like, you know, saying the ancestors of Cobra or something like that, and Flint's brother got sent to, like, you know, the rejects where Sergeant Slaughter was training them.
Yeah.
And then, like, the most vivid imagery I have out of that movie is basically Serpentor throwing that cobra thing in the Duke's heart, and you see blood spewed out of his heart, and we all thought that Duke was dead. And I was like, oh, come on, man. That's like Optimus Prime dying in Transformers the movie.
Yeah, I was bawling my eyes out in the theater when I was like, not Optimus Prime, no. Because they were like, they had the TV series on 56, right? And the kid's
yeah.
Yeah, it's his father. It's like, I liked, my favorite Transformers was like Jazz and Bumblebee. And there was also the tape deck, which was actually Savage. Remember they had the tape deck, and people remember what that is, but it was Savage. And yeah, they had,
Oh yeah, it was a Soundwave you're talking about.
Yeah, so
I got you.
The animal. What was it?
Yeah, Ravage.
Yeah, it was like he popped out, like they had tape decks, they had all these things, but then in the movie, the kid that was the son grew up, he became a father, and then the thing that also too, the kid, the voice of Spike's, the voice of Spike's son, he was Daniel. He was the kid from Over the Top, Sylvester Stallone. Remember that film Over the Top with Sylvester Stallone, and he had the arm wrestling thing?
The movie's vague to me, but
yeah, he was in a couple of things, but that was the kid from that time. He did a lot of things around General Hospital. He did a couple other films, but he was the son of Sylvester Stallone, and Over the Top, he did the voice for Daniel.
That's awesome.
I'm a geek. I'm a nerd. See, I can talk about Transformers all day long.
Nah, I got it. Hey, more power to you.
Yeah, I also, you know, it's like, remember the song? They had the song in the video, When You Got the Touch. Remember that? They had the video on MTV from the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was like, yeah, and you're like rocking and rolling to the Transformers, and it's, yeah. Yeah,
what's
I'm
your rap
cosplayer
version?
Yeah, I forget who did it, but it was like, you know, like, yeah, it was
oh,
awesome.
It's only the greatest rock and roll music movie guy in the world, Stan Bush. God rest his soul.
Oh.
Stan Bush is, yeah, I believe he did, unfortunately. Stan Bush is to what every single cool movie in the 80s was to what we have now. Like, Stan Bush is amazing. Like, he did the soundtrack for all of Van Damme's movies for Bloodsport and and also Kickboxer.
I get the Van Damme ones mixed up a little bit. Where was the one, which was the one when he was in the circle fighting people? Remember he had to go into the circle and those all fighters. That was, which one was that?
I think it's Lionheart. I think that's Lionheart, to my understanding.
I'm trying to think what it is. I wonder if I can look up, pull up the IMDb because
it's either. Oh, were there flames poking out of it? Like, and there was like a guy that was like, you know, saying they had their hands wrapped in glass.
I think I'm trying to think if that was it. It was
that would be Kickboxer.
Okay, so I'm getting the Van Damme ones mixed up because I'm trying to figure out which one was which.
Yeah, that would be Kickboxer. And honestly, I love Kickboxer. That's one of my favorite movies. You know what I'm saying? Because like that was like, for a lot of martial artists, that was like our version of welcoming in Muay Thai into pop culture, in a way. Because like you know how the UFC guys, and you see a lot of guys in Thailand that you know saying that they fight, you know saying pretty much if you can actually name source of anything that any Muay Thai martial artist would say, they'll say like Kickboxer was my inspiration or Bloodsport was my inspiration. Because, like, you know saying, because of that. Because what Van Damme did in exposing some of those, you know, those aspects of martial arts into that atmosphere, you know, it was like, wow, you know saying, that got me into martial arts. And I can actually say that Bloodsport does get me into martial arts. Like, every morning when I train, I just pump the Bloodsport music on. Like, do 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 do. And, like, you know, I'm imagining, like, I'm doing the splits, like, Jean-Claude Van Damme, which I tried to do badly when I was young. Like, when 8 or 9 years old, when basically Bloodsport came on, I was trying to get those splits. And let's just say that I had to pay a trip to the hospital for that.
Oh, geez. Now, that's why I was, like, I was getting it mixed up because, you know how, like, it's a small world and stuff, but the one in Kickboxer, when they go into the circle, do you remember, I think there was a guy that was acting like a bullfighter, kind of. I don't remember if you remember the fights in there. I don't know if you remember it. You probably look at it again.
His name is Tong Po, which was like the main character in the movie. Basically, his story arc was he's a ruthless Muay Thai fighter who basically fights for like the Thailand mob. And what happens is, like, you know, when they bring Jean-Claude Van Damme's brother, who's playing his brother in the movie, basically the guy Tong Po injures him and actually paralyzes him with a devastating elbow blow to the back of his spine. So basically, he's paralyzed for life, and then basically, Jean-Claude Van Damme tries to get revenge by training in Muay Thai, so to beat Tong Po because he's the best in Thailand.
And they do.
He's
all
like
these,
a national hero.
They do like all these fight scenes, and the funny thing is, you know how like we're talking about all these films, right, that we love and stuff, but half of those films, and I think it was Kickbox, and it shows. I'll have to send you a picture, but you're gonna poop your pants. But all the people that I've been connecting with, the stunt people, one of my ninja pals, his name is Steven Lambert. He was in that film, and he looks like he was posing like a bullfighter the way his costume was for that fight scene, and he had to fight Van Damme. And he's like, all the films that, more than likely, I think half the films that you've watched were action with Van Damme and such. I think Steven actually worked on some of them. And when I send you some pictures, you're going to be like, oh, my God. Because, you know, back in the day, you know, with stunts and stuff, or we didn't have all this internet stuff. We couldn't tell who actually worked on sets. So, you know, we couldn't freeze it. We didn't have all this information. But more than likely, if I show you some pictures, your jaw's gonna drop. Just absolutely drop. And it'll be like, oh, my God, we know that person. Because stunt people
are
drunk.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, yeah, I'm going to send it to you privately, and like, I'll find some of the stuff and see if you've actually watched it. And it's like, I know you can, like, you would love it because, you know, with the action. That's why I was like, you ever think, you know, you never want to do an action film because there's so many people, you know, out there in Hollywood that I've been networking with. It was like, hey, maybe someday we can do a big, huge action film because I know tons of people that actually played real ninjas. So if you ever want to do an action film, I'm pretty sure I can hook you up with, like, you know, connect you with some stunt people.
No, honestly, I would love to do it. Like I said, I have a story in mind that I want to do for action. You know, like I said, Jackal was one that, like, you know, me and Laz, mm-hmm. we both came up with. We were thinking about doing that, but then, you know, somebody else was already doing the movie that we already wrote out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we had to scrap it.
Yeah, I remember that because I was like, yeah, because I think I was going to work on that with you. And I was like, oh,
yeah.
I was like, but I totally get that because it's like, you know, you want to do something different. So it was like, because I was like, yeah, I've always wanted to do some sort of action thing with you because I just, you know, with your training, you know, having some training, you could do your own little fights. I could picture you do that with your background. I mean, maybe you're not going to be swinging things off like Jackie Chan or not, but, you know, I'm pretty sure if you, like, you prepare for it, you could do some fight scenes. I could picture you
doing
that.
Yeah, but honestly, I retired from acting. I'm done.
Oh, so you just want to be, like, behind the scenes?
Yeah, totally. I just want to be a producer, director, writer. Like, yeah. I, you know, for surprise, surprise, I just wanted to get that story out there because I felt like I'm the only person that could tell the story, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, I felt like I was the only one that could do that character. Now, looking back at it, I could find somebody that could possibly do it. I could just coach him up. But for me, it was like I just wanted to do the movie. I just wanted to get the experience of doing the movie by myself and promoting and doing all the things that, you know, a star would do. Just to get experience, you know, and that's why we came together when we made Surprise Surprise. It was just, we want to get experience in what we do. If the opportunities are not there, then screw it. Just do it yourself, you know?
Yeah, I don't think it's like, because it's like at that time, I think it's good that you did it. I mean, looking back, you say looking back to get someone else, but I don't think you should really think like that. I mean, this is my opinion because you work with what you had, and that's something you're going to remember. So I don't think you really have to get anybody else because now that's an experience you have and you can look back on that, it's really special. So it's like, don't ruin it. No, you did a good job. I know you did a good job. I'll have to see the film myself, but I can guarantee it, you fitted the character just fine. I can picture that from what I've seen, you know, like the little clips and stuff here and there. I'm sure you did a fantastic job. And believe me, the time I get to see that film, I'm going to be writing all over your Facebook wall, so get ready for that the day I see your film.
I might be out of town for that, but I'll still look at the wall. But, hey, no, like I said, there's a tremendous amount of buzz that's happening right now for the release of Surprise Surprise. This morning, I woke up and I found that our movie is posted on Walmart.com.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
It's like, okay, now this is starting to turn into a big deal. And like I said, I think we're just beginning with this whole thing. So I don't know what is going to happen within the next couple of weeks, but I can guarantee you it's going to be an explosion of great things happening with Surprise Surprise and also with everything that's going on. I cannot fathom where we would be if our team did not step up and handle the business that we, you know, that was happening. So I appreciate everyone's support, and even our soundtrack artists who donated their songs to us, which, you know, they're top tier songs, you know, from Nancy to Maverick to Desert Fleet to Ray Royale to Marquise to Nate Landers. I mean, and Carter Marie, A&S, you know, saying my man S2B, and just Cartel. The list goes on and on. All you got to do is go to the website, surprises.com, and download the soundtrack for Surprise, Surprise. You'll even hear some cuts from me, Laz, that are on the soundtrack as well. And, you know, yeah, just download the soundtrack. It's free. You can download it, put it into your MP3 player, and display it.
I was like, maybe I can do that for our next show. And, no, you just reminded me. I saw something because I went to the website, right? And since I've been away from Boston, I don't own a TV and stuff, and I haven't been able to keep up with the music. But I saw something on the website, and the guy, Maverick, you have one of his songs in it, and Jay's actually kind of in the video. He makes a little appearance,
yes.
And it's like, hey, Jay, so tell people about that. How did he get on that? Did he audition? What's up with that?
It's pretty much like, you know, saying Jay has, you know, him and Maverick, they're very close personal friends, and, you know, we know Maverick as well. He's a great, very supportive talent here in Boston, you know, with him and Jim 94.5, you know, saying the number one hip hop station in all of New England. Maverick is, you know, saying he's such an incredible talent. He's such an incredible guy. Hearing him on the midday, and you know, he's just forthcoming and very excited, and he loves what we're doing, you know, and you know, saying we would love to work with him in the future with greater projects as they come along. He's such a force to be reckoned with now in the rap game, and also on Jammin 94.5.
Wow, I forgot about Jammin. I mean, who's on Jammin now on 94.5? Who's the MCs or DJs in the morning? Is Romero still on the show? I mean, who's, I can't even remember because I haven't been back to Boston.
I believe Romero's still on there.
Hello? Crusty? Let's see. Huh. Oh, let's see. Let me see what's going on. Hey, Crusty? Okay. I'm still hanging here. I don't know what's going on. Give me one moment. Let me see if I can try to call his cell phone, interrupt if I can do this. Let's see. It's the dialing. I'm going to call his phone. See if I can get a hold of him, if this works. Usually this thing does not work. It says dialing now. So I'm calling Crosby to have him back on, and I do apologize. So let's see. Well, it sounds like I'm getting him. It sounds like it's ringing.
Please leave your message for
CT.
Hey, Crosby, I think you're calling back in. I apologize. We're live on the air, so let me end this thing and get you on. Sorry about that. Hello, Crosby?
Yeah, sorry about that. Completely
off. I don't know what happened. I'm sitting here going, So now it's like I was in the middle of leaving you a message. I dialed out to get a hold of you, so you're going to have a long message because I think it's on hold right now because I was like, Crosby, trying to get a hold of you because you're like, hey, it's CT. And I'm like, okay. So I guess you go by CT now.
CTZ. Now, Crosby is my name. Don't wear it out. Crosby Tatum, CT. You can call me anything. Just don't call me sir.
Don't call me sir. You're my little brother. Yeah, you always know as my little film brother. Yeah, you're my little brother. I'll never call you sir. Yeah.
Don't call me sir.
That's right. That's right. I'll still try to put you in a headlock. I'll be like Granny. You know, as you get older, I'm going to be Granny wearing Depends. And it's like, I'll still put you in a headlock.
Oh, you're too much.
Yay. Hey, you got the energy, too. You're a little off the wall, so that's why you're really on my little brother. You're really, you know, you have your points, too. I watch your Facebook page just because I don't always comment. I see you. I see you guys left some jokes one time. You guys were doing these crazy jokes on your Facebook wall, and I was like, what the heck? And you guys were going back and forth. It was all a bunch of jokes. I think that Jay was doing it. It was a while ago. I think it was like last year. And I was like, yeah, you guys are living off the wall.
It's what our boy K Diz. Shout out to K Diz, you know, K Diz Radio. You know, saying that's where it's at. Make sure you download this app, the TuneIn app, I believe. K Diz, if you're listening out there, holler at us. Basically it was the light skin, dark skin wars. We still continue the light skin, dark skin wars. The light skinned people will never win. Because y'all have went out of style since 1991, or whenever New Jack City was open, y'all are still out of style. The dark skins rule, the darkies rule, and basically I declare war on all light-skinned people. Y'all ain't got nothing on me. I would say the other expletive, but you know what? All you lighties.
Just explain, because it's like they're going to, you know, it's like explain to people, just go, you don't have to go too much into it, but when you're saying ladies and stuff like that, explain a little bit about what it is, because people are going, what is he talking about? So this.
It's simple. Yeah. Simple. African Americans who are light skinned and African Americans that are dark skinned. You know, for me, I call them you lighties. You know, you lighties out there, not whiteies, lighties. That's right. You lighties out there with your smooth, almond butter skin, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, I'm talking about you guys. Black brothers, all we are here, the darkies, we still rule the game. We still rule the hemisphere. Y'all ain't got nothing on us. So if y'all want to start the war, just bring it on, baby. I'm right here.
Oh, it's all good with
me. Matter of fact,
Shelly,
you got amnesty. You got amnesty.
I got what?
You got amnesty.
Amnesty?
You have amnesty. Amnesty.
Okay.
You're good. You're all good.
Yeah, because I'm like, I'm sitting here, hey, good-looking man's a good-looking man. I'm just going to be like, if I'm going to drool over him, I'm going to drool over him. I'm like, you know, he got a little six-pack or something going on. I'm going, you know, just like put me in a shower. I'm just a woman. I can't help myself. You get a man running around, six-pack, that's it. Put me in the shower. That's it. I'm all done.
I'm gonna put a tweet out there. I'm just gonna say, I have declared war on all light skinned people.
Don't say you put it on Shelly Milchuk show. You're gonna get me all like people are like, what's going on, Shelly? Like, hey, I ain't going there. Like I said, you can make good looking man, I ain't got a care. I'm like, you guys are causing chaos in the Shelly Milchuk show. Boy, oh boy. Did
your recording has reached the maximum length. To replay your message, press 1.
Hey.
To delete and re-record your message, press 3.
What the heck
for
is
delivery
that?
Options, press 4. To send a fax, press 6. To cancel this message, press star. To send this message now, press pound or hang up.
What the heck? That's your voicemail. Okay.
You're invading my voicemail.
To replay your message, press 1. To delete and re-record your message, press 3. For delivery options, press 4. To send a fax, press 6. To cancel this message, press star. To send this message now, press pound or hang up.
Let's see if that works. Okay.
Let's hope that works.
To replay your message, press 1.
What?
To delete and re-record your message, press 3. For delivery options, press 4. To send a fax, press 6.
No.
To cancel this message, press star. To send this message now, press pound or hang up.
I ain't gonna hang up. I ain't hanging up. No.
Your message has been sent. Thank you for using T-Mobile voicemail. Goodbye.
We just recorded this whole conversation. It's you still there?
Yes, I am. The more power to me, or more power to us.
You just recorded our whole conversation on your voicemail.
Me?
Yeah,
me? I thought it was you.
You know what happened? No, because I called you back, and it clicked over, and I'm like, how the heck did that happen? So I think you're going to have a long-ass message, so just be prepared. You're going to be like, what the hell?
I will be prepared.
Only on my show would you get it recorded on your voicemail. Oh, my gosh.
That's true. And I still declare war on all you white, light-skinned people. You think y'all are special. Well, y'all suck. I'm out of here.
Whoa, what's that in the background? I hear people.
Yeah, they're just people. Here. Yeah, waste not your time with such people.
Yeah, you should have them call in and go, hey, who's that?
Actually, they probably don't want to do it. They are, yeah.
Oh, man. Tell them to call in. We still got a few minutes, but since we still have a few minutes left before the end of the show, is there anybody that you actually wanted to give out shout-outs to more?
Well, I definitely got to shout out Jay Holland. Please like his page at J-O City on Facebook, and also follow him on Twitter at J-O City, J-A-Y-O City. And also, just got to give a shout out to OWC Boston. You want to shout her out at facebook.com/OWCTV. And also follow her on OWCTV on Twitter as well. And basically, my entire cast and crew, surprise, surprise, if you want to know more about them, just log on to our website at surprises.com and look at their at the cast pages, the cast and crew pages. You could definitely basically get a profile of what they've done in the past. And also, hey, what can I say? If you can look into attend our DVD release party, which is going to be I'm not going to lie, we're probably going to have the biggest night in Boston this year so far, the biggest Monday night in Boston so far. So if you got to get, so basically, if you're going to work the next day, call in late, because
we're going to take
Tuesday off, you know, it up. We're going to turn up on Monday, June 16th, you're going to hear some great musical performances from the great artists, from our soundtrack artists, and, most importantly, you're going to hear some tunes from DJ Daz One, and you'll get the DVD of Surprise Surprise in your hand if you arrive at the party. Now, $15 is the ticket charge, and you only pay for that online at surprises.com. Because they will not be sold at the door.
Yeah, I was reading that off on your page there. So what was the website again? It says something, I think, Surprise This. Is it www.surprisethis.com?
Yes, that is correct. Absolutely correct. So go right there, purchase a ticket. We ask that everyone please purchase your tickets now. Do not be left out in the cold, because on the day of the party, if you think that you can basically buy yourself into the door, that will not happen. Unfortunately, we basically are still asking, please just purchase your tickets online, and basically we'll take your name at the door, and you get into the party, and you get yourself a DVD.
Cool.
And you get to enjoy yourselves with the night.
And have fun, and call and stick the next day to work. And I just thought, you know, Clark, thank you so much for being back on my show. I'm going to check out the date, and I'll have you back on. And if anybody, you know, from, you know, any cast, crew, that want to be on the show, let them know, saying to Colin, if you want a Wednesday night, I'll try to hook you up again, and try to get some people that actually worked on the film, have them call in. We'll have a party on my show.
Party. But seriously, Shelly, thank you very much for having us. Surprise, surprise, DVD release party. Third is going to be Monday, June 16th, 2014, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. over at the House of Blues Foundation Room, 15 Lansdowne Street, Boston, Massachusetts. It's going to be a great time. Everyone's going to enjoy themselves. Get the DVD. Surprise, surprise, if you can't make it. It's now available on MaverickMoviesOnline.com, Amazon, Walmart, and actually we're on BestBuy.com too.
Righty. I hope you guys have a good time, and I'll get you back on the show. And Crosby, thank you for taking time out for being on the show. It was an honor, and it's always such a privilege to have you on my show. So thank you, and you have a good night.
Thank you very much, Shelly Nunchucks. Everyone have a great night. And also please follow my blog on YouTube, youtube.com/CrosbyTatum. Follow my blog. It's 30 Days to Surprise. You can definitely check me out.
I give 2 minutes of wisdom and also entertainment on my video blog. I already got 5 days in, so please just check it out right now. It's also on my page. So.
Alrighty, and thank you so much for that, Crosby, and you have a good evening.
You too. Thank you.
Alrighty. Good night.
Good night.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I can't believe that the time goes by so fast. And right there, see, anybody that has a dream, you know, right there, proof is in the pudding right there. Crosby Tatum, my little film brother, he's making some moves. He's one of the shakers out there. And for doing hard work, that's all you got to do is do the hard work one step at a time, just like everybody else. And believe it or not, you'll be able to do your dreams too. So anyway, I'm ending the show where I usually open it up with the battle song by Pisces Project, and I'm going to actually end the show. Thank you so much for the love and support, and I shall be getting Grandmaster Eric Lee on my show. Also Mel Novak, who actually worked like with Chuck Norris and on a couple other films, so a couple of the guests will be coming up. So once again, everybody, thank you for the love and support on my show, and thank you so much, and can't wait next Sunday, Ninja Sunday, and everyone, have a good night.